Wapatakiria Health District in this morning. Aaron Perkins is back with us. Aaron, it's good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having us.
You have become a regular.
I like that. Same.
And we welcome for the very first time Anthony Salgado, the Deputy Emergency Coordinator. Anthony, it's great to meet you. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
A little bit about you. How did you get from there to here?
Yeah, so I actually went to college for emergency management over at the University of North Texas. It's a degree that not a lot of people know about, but really trying to prepare, get ready, and respond for different emergencies. And Texas is a great place to learn because it's that one state that can be on fire, underwater, and covered in snow at the same time.
I had never heard of that, but it makes total sense. And even around here, we have a lot of strange things, and even in Virginia, as a whole, what got you interested in you know, emergency services kinds of things?
Yeah, no, it's a funny story. So actually, when I was a little kid, I didn't want to be like an astronaut or a race car driver. What I wanted to do is I wanted to work for the CDC. I don't know how I learned about that, but I wanted to be the guy who was like ordering quarantines and stuff, but I didn't know the name for that.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until the COVID pandemic came around that I was like, I remembered this thing about emergency management. And what's not the better time to learn than when there's an emergency going on that will not stop?
Boy, I'll say, and there's so much need now, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's just stormy conditions, other all kinds of things. You need somebody who knows how to make the calls and how to organize things.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Really, there's a lot of components that go into it, but really all these different hazards have similarities when you think about these emergency communications, you think about sheltering, evacuations, you know, a lot of different hazards have these same similarities. And so we have to prepare from, you know, a bottom-up approach. We got to look at the bottom, the community, how our communities are going to be impacted, and how do we prepare for these and respond.
And this is an interesting area because we generally will miss, you know, a head-on hurricane, but we can get the residuals, and it can be pretty rough around here, and just with storms or, you know, whatever. We have... You'll be busy around here, I would think.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to do here, a lot of things to prepare for, even something like earthquakes. And yeah, that 2011 earthquake, you know, not something you typically would think about on the East Coast, but, you know, surprises do happen.
Totally forgot about that. And that because that was such a shock.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And now even when we get the reports of aftershocks, it does make you kind of think. You know, you look at that, and generally it's just, you know, the low, as far as on the Richter scale, it's like 2 or something. But you think back to that day, and it does concern you.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of things that can surprise you. And talking about hurricanes, you know, while it's unlikely that one could hit up the coast, it's still definitely possible. That's kind of that worst case scenario we think about, is that a hurricane coming up the Chesapeake Bay, coming up over here towards Fredericksburg, even towards D.C.
So let's talk about, because this is what, June 1st is the beginning of hurricane season, and we start hearing about that.
Yeah, so hurricane season's coming up, and so the NOAA, the N-O-A-A, which stands for the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, has predicted an above-average hurricane season for this summer. And there's a couple unique things in that. So there are El Nino and La Nina conditions that happen, you know, every other year, or, you know, in different phases. Last year was El Nino, and so one of the things you look at during those climate phenomenons is the vertical wind shear. The vertical wind shear is, you know, in regards to the wind speed and wind direction, about 5,000 to 35,000 feet in the air. During El Nino, that wind shear on the Atlantic is very strong, and when that wind shear is strong, it helps pull apart those hurricane systems, prevents them from getting very strong. Well, this summer we're in La Nina conditions, where the vertical wind shear is not very strong, it's pretty weak. So there's not going to be a lot stopping these hurricanes from developing, from getting very strong. So there's about an 85% chance confidence that we are above average this season. So really something to be thinking about, you know, be prepared for.
Wow, that is something to be concerned about.
Yeah, I agree.
As you look at it. So if somebody like you, I guess, just in what you do, you keep a close eye then when the... Because the National Hurricane Center will start tracking these things when they're off in Africa and everything. So I'm sure you keep an eye on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, I got an extra monitor where I see the storm systems coming up, and I wonder, you know, what direction are they going? Are they going to come over here? And I got, you know, networks over in Texas, you know, across the U.S., and I kind of listen to them, see what they learn, see what they respond to. so that we can be ready ahead of time.
We've had some I can't think of the last hurricane that we had that really affected us, but we've had a couple that have affected us have been real strong. It's been a few years, but you only have to live through it once to know it can't happen around here.
Yeah, definitely. It's not always one coming up the coast. You know, one of the major hurricanes that impacted Virginia was Hurricane Isabel in 2003. And now that one didn't hit the coast.
Yeah.
It came up the Gulf of Mexico and dissipated through the states, and it kind of, you know, provided extended rain, you know, over in Richmond. There were fatalities, millions of dollars of damages. So this wasn't one that came up the coast. This was one that came up through the south, through the Gulf of Mexico. So it's not, you know, one that you typically think about impacting us very severely.
Well, and around here, it can be the winds, it can be the rain, but especially the winds can cause all kinds of problems and major power outages. We've had some where we've had power outages for, a week or more.
Yeah, definitely. And especially in the summer, you know, you could have extreme heat going on for extended periods of times. So you have these cascading disasters that are going on, you know, at the same time, that can really lead to a lot of different impacts if, you know, people aren't ready for them.
So how should we get ready?
Yeah, so I tell people three things. You can have a plan and sign up for local alerts and build an emergency supply kit. And so we can go more into detail on those, but essentially you want to have a plan on what you're going to do if you have to evacuate or if you don't have power for several days. You want to sign up for local alerts because while you do have the wireless alert system, you know, that's going to alert you when there's an immediate threat to life and safety, what about your local alerts? When, you know, 95 gets shut down, mm-hmm. or when there's flooding in your neighborhood, if you sign up for local alerts, that's a good way to be prepared for ahead of time. And also building a disaster supply kit, especially for your home, something that can keep you and your family sustainable for up to 3 days. So putting things like food, water, toiletries, you know, something to keep you sane, you know, if the power is out for quite a while. Those are definitely some things that you should prepare for ahead of time.
We'll talk more about the supply kit when we come back and get into that. But the local alerts are a great thing of whether even and you can choose in most cases what you want. But just to know, you know, when there's a big traffic problem or power outages or, you know, there are great things in all localities around here have them now.
Yeah, definitely. And the easiest way to sign up is just to look up your city or your county. So Fredericksburg Alert, Stafford Alert,
yeah,
on Google, and you can get signed up right away and personalize it to the kind of alerts that you want to receive.
Anthony Salgado here, the Deputy Emergency Coordinator with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Aaron Perkins is here, too. We're talking summer stuff and safety. Right now, we're talking hurricanes. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Anthony Salgado, the Deputy Emergency Coordinator with the Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning, along with Aaron Perkins. We are talking right now about hurricane season. It begins on June the 1st. And just before the break, we were talking about an emergency kit. I guess, boy, Anthony, that's something you need to take seriously. And probably now's a good time to start, you know, writing down some of the things that you want to get and start getting some things together.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of different things you can put in an emergency kit. You know, I talked about food, water, toiletries, but also like a radio, you know, different tools that you could utilize in an emergency. You know, should start now. It doesn't have to be anything intricate, like really just grabbing an old unused tote and starting to fill it with mm-hmm. some items that, you know, you have stuck in the back of the pantry. Maybe it's a cereal box that your kids asked you to buy, but they didn't end up eating, that kind of stuff that you can put inside your kit. Water is going to be the heaviest item inside someone's kit because you want to have 1 gallon per person per day. And if you're preparing for 3 days, that's 3 gallons per person. And for a family, that can end up being a lot of water. So I know some people don't want to buy big cases of water bottles or big gallon jugs of water, but even just getting, you know, reusable water bottles or like thermoses that you can put inside your kit is still better than nothing.
Yeah, boy. As you talk about this stuff, I am so unprepared. I am so unprepared for this kinds of thing because I've got some water, but like you say, I'm at the store and I look at it and I just think, I can get that another time. But really, you do need to stock up on some of these things.
Yeah, definitely, to be prepared ahead of time. You think about before a storm hits or before winter weather is here, you see the stores getting packed with people. Food's running out, water's running out,
yep.
Toilet paper's running out. You know, to be prepared ahead of time, you don't have to stress that much. You'll know you're already prepared. And it's good to also restock and replenish them. So there are some people out there who are prepared, or maybe even doomsday preppers. You know, you hear about them with plenty of food to last a very long time. But that food does expire. You know, other items will go bad over time. So it's always good to open it back up, take a look at what you got, make sure it still works, and make sure it's still good for when you really need it.
Well, we see when there's snowstorms, and even if there is the threat for a storm, of what stores look like. With you know, the bread and toilet paper and everything gone, to do it right now, like you say, you don't have to stress and you don't have to, you know, start going from store to store to try to find out who's got something.
Right. Yeah. It's really for, you know, an ease of mind. You have a more positive outlook on your preparedness. You know, it's really essentially keeping you safe, keeping you healthy. And it's one of those things you might take for granted, you know, because if you don't need it, you know, you don't really see the benefit of it. You see that benefit if you do happen to be caught in a storm or a victim of a disaster where you are pulling these supplies out of your kit, you're putting these plans into place, and it could really save your life.
Losing power, and if you lose it, for how long, once you start losing power, do things, how long can things stay in the refrigerator, in the freezer?
Oh man, that's a good question. It's really gonna vary depending on what you got in there. You want to keep that refrigerator closed for as long as possible.
Right.
Because that power, maybe it's only out for 6 hours. If it's out for days, then that's when you have some problems. And it's going to vary on what food items you got in there. But you're really going to rely on what you got in the pantry, right? Those canned food, you know, cereals, peanut butter can last quite a while. And it has a lot of calories in it as well. So those are the things you're really going to want to rely on.
I'm just thinking about, as we talk about this, I bought a part of a cow last year, so I have all this meat, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, I've got to be prepared for something like that. And I've heard people, once you lose power for a day or so, and when they have things in the freezer, they'll go out in the summer. You can do this kind of thing of cook some things just so you can use them. Use them up, but you got to think about these. You got to think about these things and be prepared. Maybe if you do lose power, either to have a generator or to be prepared to lose some things.
Yeah, no, being prepared. I know not everybody has a generator, but it's having things that can keep you cool, like a cold pack, that kind of stuff that you can put on your body, cool down quite a bit. It's good to have it at home. Good to have it in the car if you were to get stranded, or you know, run out of gas in traffic, that kind of stuff. It's really essentially good to have a preparedness kit in three different places. One in your home, one in your car, and one in your workplace. That home kit's really going to be that one that to sustain yourself for 3 days. But a preparedness kit in the car or at work is really if you get stranded for maybe about 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You need to support yourself, might need a signal for help, is a really good thing to have. So I have like a flashlight that I keep in my car that can flash different colors if I need to hold it up or, you know, put it on top of my car so that way somebody can tell, hey, I need some help, you know, maybe I'm out of a gas, that kind of stuff. And someone could hopefully stop by and, you know, give me a hand.
Again, these are things that we don't think about, but they can happen. Because you think about the snowstorm a few years ago that shut down 95, and people sat on 95 for just, to me, that was just an incredible story. But that can happen so easily on 95, where 95 just on a regular day can get shut down if there's some kind of a major accident. To be prepared with to have water and things like that this time of year.
Yeah, absolutely. You think about if maybe there was evacuations going on the East Coast for a hurricane. You know, all these different highways can get really congested, and it's really hot in the summer. You know, people are turning off their cars. You know, people are sweating. People can experience heat stroke, something to keep in mind as well.
Well, and when we talk about hurricane preparedness, and again, so many of us around here will say that's not anything we need to be worried about. But just I know out here, you don't often notice it, but on Kings Highway, there's a hurricane evacuation sign. I know Hampton Road, you see those signs around Hampton Roads all the time for evacuation. But if there were something major that hit Hampton Roads, people would get funneled up here.
Yeah, really, our population could double, triple in size depending on, you know, what that disaster looks like, what that hurricane looks like. To touch again on what the forecast looks like for the summer, the NOAA they are estimating 17 to 25 named storms, 8 to 13 being hurricanes, and 4 to 7 being major, which is Category 3 and above. And really, if these predictions are right, you know, these are storms that are occurring in the Gulf of Mexico along the Atlantic, and there is no telling if they're going to happen over here, if it's going to miss us, if it's going to hit us, but we have to be prepared for that worst-case scenario.
Now, you've brought up some just some great ideas of things to things to do. And again, even though we're not in a Florida situation where you're boarding up windows and all, we can have some pretty significant situations where we lose power for a while, or there's a lot of damage, or trees come down in your yard or on your house, and there's just all kinds of things out there.
Yeah, definitely. And thinking about those impacts, what I try to say is that disasters don't tend to create vulnerabilities. They accelerate them. They make them more apparent. So you think about who's going to be the victims of these disasters, and it tends to be those who live at a disadvantage. It's people struggling to put food on the table who might be living in a mobile home. And these are the people we really want to get that outreach to. So I recommend, if you know somebody who's, kind of working multiple jobs, lives in a mobile home, you really want to have these conversations with them about, are they prepared? Do they have supplies ready to go? What are they going to do if a hurricane does impact our region?
Well, as you're making these emergency kits or especially having things at home, if you are able to get more, maybe if you do know people that are going to be struggling, or you might be in an area that doesn't lose power as often or frequently, and you may be able to help someone.
Yeah, definitely. A disaster kit is a really good gift, around the holidays, but also, parents are going to be sending their children to college here in a couple months. That's also a great gift to give them. It's just a backpack filled with supplies, filled with some food for them, just in case they need it. So I really recommend, that as a gift idea.
And you never know. And especially in your car, as you talked about, having stuff for your car. We don't think of that, but at times it comes in. You do need that kind of thing, whether it's the food or it's especially the water in the summer.
Yeah, food and water, and especially a way to signal if you need help, especially if you don't have your phone, if you don't have a radio, something that you can put like a flare or an emergency sign that can go on your back windshield. All this kind of stuff that you can put inside your car.
And I can vouch for having to have things at work, because I've been here for a couple of storms and ended up being here for a weekend one time, and we got so hungry, we went through everyone's desks. We went through desks and figured that this was an emergency situation for us. And we found candy bars and granola bars and things in people's desks. And I wished I had stocked up on some things. So it's not a bad idea at work, especially if you're in a situation where you might be at work over a few days.
Yeah, definitely. And it doesn't have to be any like meals ready to eat, MREs. It can be anything like peanut butter, a can of beans, anything you can think of. But those MREs are really good. You can buy some really nice kind of protein bars that have a lot of calories in them that can sustain yourself for quite some time.
So you personally, as you live all of this, I'm sure you look around and all the time are seeing situations of, or thinking of, we got to be, of just as far as being ready for things. Are you personally ready for things?
Yeah, I like to think I can always improve. I like to hear about different ideas of what people are doing and what's going on out there. So for right now, there were a lot of storms this past weekend, and luckily the most severe of those missed us. But right now in Texas, there's still hundreds of thousands of people without power right now, as that summer heat is really starting to pick up. So I'm, keeping an eye on that, seeing what people are doing, how are emergency managers preparing for this, and how are they responding to the needs that they see in their communities.
It is a good idea this time of year just to watch, because those on the weekend we didn't get anything here, but I know Northern Virginia, the Richmond area, got some pretty serious storms. There was a tornado in Culpeper the other night.
Yeah, yes, there
so
was.
They can be around here, and if especially the if you watch the Weather Channel and you see these storms moving across the country, it is a good idea just to keep an eye on that and know that maybe a couple of days from now we could have some serious weather.
Yeah, it's always good to be proactive and keeping an eye on the weather and keeping an eye on alerts and knowing what different alerts and warnings and watches mean. So For hurricane season, you have three different kind of alert statuses. You have an advisory, a watch, and a warning. An advisory is telling you that there are conditions to be a tropical storm or a hurricane, but it's not likely to be, you know, life-threatening. When you have a watch, you have a potential hurricane or tropical storm that could impact your area in about 48 hours. And then when you have a warning, a hurricane warning, that means that a hurricane is going to impact your region within the next 36 hours. So that's really that time to get ready and respond and prepare for that worst case scenario.
Yeah, be careful with that. Any, even around here, with whether it's when it's thunderstorm warnings or a tornado warning, whenever you get to the warning phase on any of these, keep track of things. Having a weather radio is a good idea.
Yeah, something that can be battery operated, or you have some that are hand crank operated.
Yeah.
So if you just crank that that lever on the radio, you know, it'll power itself. So that's really good to have when, you know, power goes out, when it's hard to use your phone, hard to use your computer. It's really good to have a radio on hand.
I ended up getting a weather radio a few years ago. There was a tornado in England Run in Stafford, and it was like 11 o'clock at night, and nobody was expecting it. And I thought, just to have something to warn you for those kinds of things, because especially late at night, if you're not monitoring things, storms can come up.
Yeah, no, it can surprise you. And typically you'll have a watch going on that evening. So if you have a watch that says it expires at midnight or 1 a.m., make sure you're keeping your phone close or, you know, the radio on.
Yeah.
Just in case something does happen to impact your area.
Yeah. Keeping your phone around is a good idea. And a lot of times when you have these tornado watches that will last through the day, or even thunderstorm watches, you start to worry when it's a long – If they're watching a storm system for a long time.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that.
So, good stuff. Anthony Salgado here, the Deputy Emergency Coordinator with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Aaron Perkins is here. We're going to include you at some point, Aaron. But I'm having too much fun with Anthony right now.
Let it go. It's
become, he's becoming my best friend quickly. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is coming up on 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning. Aaron Perkins and Anthony Salgado. Anthony's the Deputy Emergency Coordinator for the Rappahannock Area Health District. It's interesting, Aaron, because you and I have known each other a while and have talked health district things through the years, but so much of this is such good information, and so many people who for so long we only looked at the Rappahannock Area Health District for just some of the basic things that you provide, but in recent years, especially since the pandemic, just a lot of real practical things to get us through, because we all go through these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the health department has historically been known for the clinical services that we provide, you know, vaccinations and things like that. And while those are great services and very much needed in the community, there's so much more to the health department, and emergency preparedness is one of those things. And I think I said during one of our breaks, it was really highlighted during the COVID pandemic that we need depth in positions like that. So bringing on some extra personnel to help respond to emergencies and help just keep us afloat for the day to day was really helpful. So we're happy to have Anthony on board.
Well, and during the pandemic, it was so helpful, especially in some of those early days. Just real practical day-to-day things, like Anthony and I just talked about getting ready for storms, and you really provided a lot of that during the pandemic, and it was helpful to at least know some things.
Yeah, I think falling back on what a lot of people consider to be common sense and reminding people of those preparedness, and just, I mean, look at how much we stress just a simple act of hand washing during the COVID response, but those kinds of reminders to stay home when you're sick and to wash your hands really are the foundation for public health and to keep everybody healthy, much like preparing an emergency kit, hoping you never really have to use it, but having it available in case you do. Those are phenomenal public health foundations.
I remember years ago, you and I did, I mean, because you were one of the first people at the, with the health department, and we talked about holiday food preparation.
We
you
did.
Became my holiday food preparation expert. So I have you here, and so since summer is when we're cooking out on the grill and all, I would think that there are a lot of pitfalls that could be avoided, and you know, there's a lot of chances to get sick, and just there are some safety things as far as grilling goes.
Yeah, absolutely. While I'm not heavily involved in the food safety stuff anymore, it's like riding a bicycle. I will never really forget it. So key things to keep in mind with summer food safety is if you've got hot food, you want to keep it hot for as long as possible. If you've got cold food, you want to keep it cold for as long as possible. You want to keep things covered up and in proper temperature ranges. So if you're having a backyard barbecue or a picnic and all the food's outside or it's inside on a kitchen counter, just you know, try to keep it out for the serving time and then cover up and put away what's not needed anymore rather than leaving it out all day. Those are good things to keep in mind.
It is just like it is like being together for holidays of putting that stuff away, because the longer it stays out, the chance there is for things to happen and then for sickness.
Absolutely. There's the risk of cross-contamination or temperature abuse in those situations. And so you just want to make sure it gets covered up and put away.
Anthony, as a the Deputy Emergency Coordinator, any other you know, outside grilling or just summer picnic tips that we've missed?
I mean, those are really good tips. But yeah, if you don't follow those precautions, you know, we hear about outbreaks, foodborne outbreaks going on because people weren't following, you know, specific standards. You know, there were getting in those danger zones when it comes to, you know, food temperature. So you really want to make sure you're following these precautions, because you don't want to get yourself sick and you don't want to get other people sick.
I've never had food poisoning, but boy, I know people who have, and the stories they tell are not pretty stories.
No.
It's bad.
It's not fun. They cause a lot of hospital visits and worse deaths and lots of money every single year. So we definitely want to take whatever steps we can to prevent that from happening.
We are at the beginning. I mean, schools, some schools are just getting out. Some have some have been out. But I know this is vaccine. This is when if you've got kids at certain ages, this is vaccination time.
Yeah. So we have we like to remind parents to schedule appointments with their pediatrician or to get into one of the immunization clinics at the local health department offices to acquire those necessary back-to-school vaccinations. There are certain ones, especially for rising 7th graders and rising 12th graders, the meningococcal, the HPV, and the Tdap vaccinations are all required for those children entering those grades. So, you know, check with your pediatrician to see if your kids are caught up and up to date on their vaccinations before they start the school year. Those are now state law as of, I believe, 2021. So we want to make sure that all kids who are returning to public and some private schools, that they have those vaccinations before the start of the school year. So summer is a great time to get those done.
As we talked with the other things, to do it at the end or do it, you know, late July or in August when school's getting ready to go back, you might run into a problem. So
yeah, the schools can actually withhold the child from entering school if they're not up to date on their vaccinations. So it's a great idea to give a call to your pediatrician, check your child's vaccination record and make sure that they are up to date. You can find a lot of that back to school vaccination information on the main Virginia Department of Health website. That's vdh.virginia.gov. And you can look under back to school, and there are some back to school vaccination immunization schedules. So you can, you know, determine what vaccinations your child should have by the age that they are.
I should say, too, the State Health Department website and Facebook page, and also for the Rappahannock Area Health District, a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of current stuff, or if you see if something going on, there was, I think it was last week, and I think this was on your Facebook page, where there was some kind of an alert that if you were going to be traveling like to Saudi Arabia or something, or things you should know, there when things come up, that impact us. There's always a lot of good information on those websites.
Yeah, we try to keep up to date on a lot of current events that impact in a public health capacity. And there's just so many variations of topics that we have to talk about on any given day. So it's a busy job.
I was going to say, there's never a downtime.
No.
For the health district. Because we could talk about, summer. I mean, Anthony could come in all the time because we could talk about summer storms. Then we get into fall weather and then winter. And, I mean, there's always something just in your realm and in really all areas.
Yeah, we have a lot of moving pieces at the health department.
Speaking of which, congratulations, because the health department, and I just saw this, received some accreditation, and this is a national thing. Yep. And to see you the list I saw, there were three health districts, and one was the Rappahannock Health District. I mean, yeah. This is around the country.
Yes, so we have been working hard at this. I think we've touched on it a couple of times, Allison and I, as we've been in. But we have spent the last about 3 years gathering documentation and putting everything together to submit to the Public Health Accreditation Board, or what we call FAB. And we submitted towards the end of July last year, initially, all of our documentation. We had a few that we needed to add some components to or find additional pieces of documentation in the early fall. And we had a site visit from FAB accreditation coordinators, and we finally got word last week that we received accreditation through FAB. So it's a huge accomplishment for our health district. Only about 11% of local health departments nationwide are accredited, and Rappahannock is only the fifth of 35 districts within the Commonwealth of Virginia to receive accreditation.
That is phenomenal.
Yes. We're very proud.
You should be very proud. And Anthony's got something on his, he's got like a patch on his shirt
to signify that.
Yes, Dr. Obasanjo was very adamant about making sure we had the shirts ready to go once we received word that we were accredited. And so we are wearing it loud and proud. We have the press release scheduled to go out today, and we'll be making some social media posts later on today to more formally announce this accolade.
But it really shows, from Dr. O on down, just the commitment of these of this health district. And you see it all the time, especially when you all are going and talking about issues with local governments and advising them, and the partnerships you've had with Mary Washington Healthcare and others. You're in the community, and this is so deserving, and should make all of us in this area feel, much safer and much more in the know because of what you all have accomplished.
Yeah, I really would hope so. That's the goal. We saw, and I think we've talked about this again on the last several shows, we saw at the start of COVID how important those community partnerships really are with the health department. We can't do this alone. We're not meant to do this alone. So we have worked really hard with a lot of community organizations and individuals even within the community to work towards accreditation. I mean, we had a group of several of our community partners available during our site visit with FAB back in February just to talk about some of the different projects that we've been working on through the accreditation process and over the last few years. And it's really comforting and nice to know that we've got such great, strong community partners in the Rappahannock area.
It does. And there's just a level of comfort to know that, and to know that you all are out there. And we did see it during the pandemic. Like I said, the day-to-day kind of information that you were able to provide was just invaluable to all of us.
Yeah, I think the two of the essential foundation or essential public health services are to communicate so that we can educate and to work with community partners. And I think accreditation stressed how competent we are as an agency to do both of those things. It challenged us to do better, but it also it let us know that we've really got a great, you know, foothold on this, and we can improve from there.
I can go back in working with the health department, even in the early 2000s, when you all were working on, you know, just like the mass vaccination kinds of things, where you would go. I remember one time going to Stafford Airport, mm-hmm. and you had something set up. Yeah, this was years ago. So when you did have to set up things with COVID vaccinations, you were able to do that. Just I'm sure it wasn't seamless for you, but it did seem like very quickly you mobilized things and had so many different options for all of us to get vaccinated.
Yeah, we had vaccination clinics in churches. We had vaccination clinic. I organized one at the Dominion Raceway for a drive-through clinic a couple years ago. We did Fred Nat's mm-hmm. ballpark for a vaccination clinic. We've had some really unique settings, but the formula is always really the same. And so we'll pull from those emergency plans that we have that Anthony and Wendy and their team have developed over the years, and their predecessors too. And we pull from that,
yeah.
and we follow the formula, and we tweak it where we need to tweak it for that particular event, and we get things going. But it is nice to have that bottom, you know, basic formula to get started from.
Boy, though, to have this accreditation now, I mean, you just have to be really proud.
Yes. A huge sigh of relief, because it's been a lot of work. It's been yeah. several years in the making, but we don't have long that we can relax, because we've got to turn it right around and maintain this now. So we will have annual reports that we have to submit. We have to show that we're continuing to improve on the things that we've been working on for years. And so that's the next challenge, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, not, like I said, is there anybody else in Virginia that has it?
There are other districts in Virginia. We are the fifth of 35 local health districts in the Commonwealth of Virginia to receive this. And our central office also is accredited out of Richmond. I know Prince William is one of the other districts in the Commonwealth that has achieved this. I don't remember who the others in Virginia are, but we are only the fifth out of 35 to get there here.
Well, you're the best.
Well, thanks.
So I
think so too.
The others, I'm glad that others have made it, but you're the best.
Well,
and congratulations, because that really is a great honor. And when I saw you on the list, I thought that's so exciting and so well deserved.
Well, thank
all
you.
Of you. So. And Allison, who's come in so much and has been so such a part of that. I mean, congratulations to everybody.
Yes, thank you very much.
Rappahannock Area Health District in this morning. Aaron Perkins is here along with Anthony Salgado. We're going to come back and wrap this up. We were talking earlier about hurricane preparedness. We will talk again about preparing for a big storm. Hopefully it doesn't happen, but if it does, we'll get you ready. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Aaron Perkins and Anthony Salgado here. Before we get out of here, we were talking about safety, and there are ways, I guess, to Anthony, where people can volunteer with the with the Rappahannock Area Health District in what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So not a lot of people know that we have our own volunteer force called the Rappahannock Medical Reserve Corps. That's MRC. And so I recommend really anybody who wants to sign up to help prepare for or respond to public health emergencies. We also help out with public health initiatives, you know, things going on at the health department or with our community partners. So to learn more about that, you know, just look up Virginia MRC. You can read all about it. And if you want to sign up to become a volunteer, I'm always happy to have more volunteers in our unit. I am the unit coordinator for our district, and there are so many volunteers who put in so many hours. Especially during COVID, and they're ready for the next emergency, they will be there.
Yeah. So if you're looking for a way to get involved in the community, this is a great way to do it. And especially if you have some skills in some of these, I guess you'll take anybody who wants to volunteer. But if you're somebody who does have some skills, that helps you even more.
Yeah, absolutely. So about 50% of our unit is general, and about 50% is medical. So we do take a lot of doctors, nurses, psychiatrists, and these can be, you know, active practicing. These can be retired. These can be students. We will take anybody on our list, and we'll give you, you know, trainings. We'll make sure you're prepared. We'll make sure you can go to exercises. And then if something does happen in our jurisdiction, you can respond. You can be there, and you can feel ready.
We never know, because you'd said that the National Hurricane Center is thinking maybe 4 to 7 major storms. This could be an active season, and you just feel like it's been a number of years since we have had anything. It's just, we're due.
Yeah, no, that's right. It kind of feels like we can't catch a break with all these different things going on, but we do have to prepare for the worst. So yeah, we do see an above average hurricane season forecasted to happen this summer. So it's good to have these conversations. Be prepared, have a plan, sign up for alerts, build an emergency kit, and tell your friends and tell your family about this.
That is a good point of doing this is one thing, but also just a mention to people, hey, I'm doing this, just so they get it in their mind too.
Yeah, it's a good conversation topic to talk about with your family. You know, make sure you're prepared. There's a lot of different things you can talk about. You can talk about history, you know, what hurricanes have happened in the past. You know, a lot of people have lived through an emergency or a disaster. So get those stories out there and talk about, you know, what are the things you did right? What are the things you wish you could do in the future?
Well, around here, it's been a real long time. Everyone talks about Agnes back in the early 70s. But, you know, those are shows that those are possible, that really debilitating. And we even remember a few years ago when the water level on a Saturday downtown Fredericksburg went to Sophia Street. And that stuff's scary. You want to be ready.
Yeah, we're thinking about that flooding. We're thinking about the wind speeds, you know, a tree falling down on your house. It can really be any sort of impact you can think about regarding a storm. But you want to have these conversations ahead of time, have these plans in place before something happens, because we really want to avoid panic, avoid stress when there is a disaster that could be on its way.
And emergency kits. Have an emergency kit. Start putting it together right now when the weather is good.
Yeah, definitely. And it doesn't have to be anything intricate. You don't have to drop hundreds of dollars on this. Really just start anywhere. Start with any container you got in your house. You know, put in some canned goods in there. Put in some water. You know, maybe put your important documents, you know, birth certificates, that kind of stuff, either inside of your kit or right next to it. That way, if you had to leave the house right away, it's right there. You can take it and leave as soon as possible.
We hadn't talked about that a lot, but yeah, having a place, having some waterproof places for some of those documents is so important.
Yeah, definitely. In a place that's easy to get to. So a closet that's right by the front door, you don't want to put it in your attic or your basement where you have to go looking for it. You want to make sure it's ready to go if you do need to leave at a moment's notice.
Yeah. And car, have some things in your car. You don't know in the summer what you might run into, whether it's breaking down or running into situation where you're stuck in traffic for extended times.
Yeah, definitely, especially like something that's a backpack size that can fit underneath the seat, fit in the trunk, you know, kind of off to the side where, you know, it's easy to reach, but you know, it doesn't take up a lot of space. It doesn't need to be anything, you know, way too big, not too many supplies. Just some of those questions you ask yourself about, if I were to be stranded on the road, what would I need?
Aaron Perkins and Anthony Salgado. Anthony, the Deputy Emergency Coordinator. Aaron, congratulations again for the Rappahannock Area Health District and the accreditation. That is so huge for this area.
Yes, thank you. And congratulations to our entire staff, because literally everybody contributed towards that accomplishment.
Good stuff. We're lucky to have you all, and just a great thing, the accreditation. Aaron Perkins and Anthony Salgado with the Rappahannock Area Health District. I guess the final thought, Anthony, is just be safe. Be ready. We don't know when these things are going to happen, but we want to. There are things that you can do to get ready.
Absolutely. Have these conversations ahead of time. Be prepared. Be ready. We want to keep you safe. We want to keep you healthy.
Thank you both. We'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
Anthony Salgado and Aaron Perkins with the Rappahannock Area Health District. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.